of God to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We've been looking at the seven churches of Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. Seven churches that Jesus had John to send a letter to. Jesus knew about these seven churches. That don't mean there was not other churches. There was. But it seems that Jesus sent these letters to these seven churches as representative churches. The churches that was in the area at that time and would be down through the ages. And even today, we have these kind of churches in the world operating in such a manner as these seven churches. Today we're looking at the seventh church. All the churches we've seen thus far, the Lord has had words to commend them for what they were doing. Five of the churches, two of the churches, the Lord had no condemnation. But this church today we're going to look at is very sad, and it's sad my heart to study this church and to talk with you today about this church, because Jesus does not give one word to commend this church. Think about it now. It's a large church, but there's not a single word to commend anything that was even going on in the church. Now that's a sad state, isn't it? And I believe it's the church that's we've seen at the end of the age. The church of apostasy. And I'm afraid this will be in the main the church that'll be left behind when the rapture takes place, much of it, that is. There was probably some saved people in the church, but Jesus didn't even commend them. Now, this is the state that church was. And listen to me this morning. This was at the end of the first century, some 60 years after Jesus had left. And the church was in this state at this time. And think about the years that's gone by and what the church has come to in the world today. If you've got any heart for the Lord, I believe if you go to the different churches, even in this county, if you had any spirituality about you, I believe you'd get upset. Just in this county. Of what goes on under the name of being church. And I'm not here to toot my horn today. I'm here to just tell you about what God's Word says. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Look down at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write this to them. Jesus told John, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was their real condition. That was the church. It was said to be a church of Jesus. Are y'all getting that? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May God bless his word. Lord, how we need your word today. How we need you today, Lord. Lord, we're so helpless. But we are your people, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we come here today to proclaim your good word. And I pray that the people of God would be alert today and sensitive today and receptive today to the good word of God. That we might reflect upon our own selves. Not my neighbor, but myself. How is it with me? Am I lukewarm? Am I cold? Am I hot? What is my real spiritual condition? Not what I think it is, but what really is it? Help me to see myself. And I pray in Jesus' name that you do a work of grace in my heart and life for your good pleasure. Amen and amen. One of the problems in our country today is too many people have too much money. I was looking at some websites yesterday, and I noticed a lot of Nigerian preachers. The richest preacher in the world is a Nigerian preacher. He owns $150 million. He's worth $150 million Nigerian. That's a place where they annually make $300 or $400 a year. People. The preacher's making, he's got this kind of money. Something's out of balance, isn't it? Too much money. The situation in the Laodicean church well illustrates the peril of materialism and money that not only affects people, but the church. We see this all around us today. Laodicea was a place of great wealth in its day, of commerce, and of Greek culture. That city was destroyed in AD 17, and it was so wealthy, its citizens, that they refused for the state to rebuild it. They rebuilt it themselves. Kind of goes by what you said about pride, rebellion today. This suggests that they needed no help from either God nor man. That was their attitude. The primary source of monetary gain in the area of the Laodicean church was woolen cloth and clothing made from many black wool sheep that were being bred there. You don't normally see black sheep, do you? Usually they're white. A sometimes we hear people say, well, that's the black sheep in the family. Amen. It was a place of science and of literature. It boasted an excellent medical school, which was very primitive, and actually it was very heathen, the medical school. Here is where they developed what is known in the Roman world as plagiarin powder, a salve for the ears and the eyes. Laodicea was a center of industry with extensive banking operation. And Zeus was the object of worship in that city. The people took the clay from the hills, put it with a spikenard, and made a salve for the eyes and the ears. This salve was shipped all over the Roman Empire. And today the chemical analysis reveals there was nothing healing in that clay at all, but somebody made good money at it, selling it in that day. We'd like to think we're civilized today, but a lot of medicine on the market won't do you a bit of good. Yet we are buying it just as fast as we can because of the high-pressure advertising that's presented on TV, radios, billboards, etc. I remember an episode of Andy Griffith, this old woman. She was about to die. That druggist wouldn't give her pills, and she was going to die. Y'all remember that? Finally, the young lady druggist decided to give her pills. And she was in her laying down, you know, all about dead, complaining, and the druggist come to her house and brought her pills. You brought me my pills. And later the sheriff said, why did you take her them pills? You're not supposed to. Sheriff, they're just sugar pills. But she'd been thinking them pills is what kept her going all the time. You know, psychologically, you can be like that. Did you know that? In Revelation 3:14, Jesus said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, John, I want you to write this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is the only place in our Bible where amen is a proper word. Jesus is the amen. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who's going to fulfill all the promises of God. And he lets the Laodiceans know this because this is the church that has rejected his deity. He's the true and the faithful witness. This reveals that Jesus Christ alone is the one who will reveal all and tell all. This is a day when it is very difficult to hear the truth, isn't it? What is our news we hear a lot today? Fake news. Fake news. A lot of that was kind of revealed today with the hearing with the former FBI when he was questioned. And he finally admitted that a lot of what had been on TV was not true at all. That was being countered against the president. It wasn't true at all. Fake news. Today we certainly don't get through the news. We certainly don't get it through the news media, the truth. I've never seen such a time in my life with the misrepresenting of the news that the news media does today. the government and some churches, you can't believe what they say. I take everything they say today in the news, I don't care who say it, with a grain of salt. Because it always, many times, proves not to be exactly like it's said to be. Folks, we should not be living like that. We should be faithful, living for the Lord, every single one of us. Our Lord is faithful and He's true, and we're supposed to represent Him. Amen? That was mighty weak. Amen? Lord, you hear that? I could hardly. Well, there's one faithful and true, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what people say. He's the beginning of the creation of God. That means He's the Creator. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He is God. That's the reason when He died on the cross, because of who He was, He could pay for sin. No other human or animal or object of any nature could have paid for sin. It's so against God, it took God to pay for it. That's how awful my sin is. And yours. God hates sin. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot, Jesus said to this church. Think about it. Think about them people sitting there with them big, nice clothes on. All the money they had. They were important people. They didn't need anybody. They were self-sufficient, they thought. And here they're getting a letter from the Lord. And He's telling them, you're neither cold nor hot, spiritually. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God said to this, the Lord said to this church, you make me sick. Your Christianity makes me sick. You know what? That's the way it is in our world today. Many, many churches today, it's just, there's no spirituality. There's no worship. There's just many people that go to church. Well, I ought to go. I ought to go. How many people have told me, well, I need to go, but they don't. What's the matter with people? They're either dead in sin or they're lukewarm. You ever try to drink a glass of lukewarm water? It'll make you almost sick, won't it? Really, I don't care about water anyway. Very few times I ever really get thirsty. If I get thirsty, give me a Pepsi. Or some tea. Or lemonade. But for water, I hardly ever. I drank enough water growing up because that's all we ever had was water. Pumped out of a pump. Didn't have no ice, just pump, hand pump water. That's what we were raised on. Didn't have tea for many years. Jesus said to this church, I know your works. You know what? There was none of them good. Are y'all listening to me that He's talking to a church of people that said they were His people? I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. That means you're indifferent. I don't care. I'm just doing what I want to do. We've come together to talk about what's going on all week. Is it going to rain? How's your crop, brother? Hey, did you make any money this week selling clothes off them black sheep? I know your works, but the Lord Jesus had no word of commendation for this church. He didn't say, well, I know you're trying. He didn't even say that, Brother Chavis. He didn't even say, I know you're trying. How many are here today to are you trying to serve the Lord? We should be serving the Lord. We serve the Lord by obeying Him, living by His Word, knowing you need Him, you're submitted to Him. Even the works here were not good works in this church. Isn't that sad? They're evil works. Lukewarmness characterized complacency in spiritual matters. Those who are lukewarm are useless to Christ. Useless. Can't use. What's my spiritual temperature? What's yours today before the Lord? What's our spiritual temperature? Liberalism has denied the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. The Bible definition of liberalism is this, in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That is being religious. The Lord don't want you to be religious. Aren't you glad you don't have to be religious? I'm starting to turn over to a channel I found on my cable now. And I've never watched stuff like this before. I've been ignorant, but I've been watching a little bit of it. And, oh, they got on all these robes that are purple or royal. You know what I'm talking about? And they got on gold bonnets or something on their heads, you know. And there's not a smile in the place. There's nobody smiles. It looks like I used to go out to the crib to feed the mules and they would look at me. This is the way they are, brother. Am I telling you right? They look at you. That's the way they are on this channel. Religious. And every once in a while, somebody picks up a lantern and it's smoking, you know. And they're walking around with this lantern and they're filling the place with smoke. If I was to do that at home, you know, the lantern go to smoking, my wife would run me out of the house. But there, it's common. Religion, folks. That was interesting what you said today, Miss Jolene, about that subject. I'd never heard that. But I'm going to look it up. I made me a note to look that up. That woman's exposed, didn't she, folks? She's been watching that channel, too. Love you, sister. Look at that smile on her back there. Amen. Hey. Listen, folks, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And there's more corruption come out of that crowd? More corruption? But you know, they're trying to keep it hid. They're trying to keep it from the public. The Protestant churches that came out of that assumed the position of believing all the great doctrines of the Christian faith from the beginning. The Protestant churches, such churches as Methodist and Lutheran and Episcopalians, Presbyterian and others, Adventist, I think, and some others, came out of Catholicism after the Reformation. And these churches was preaching the Word of God. They were preaching the deity of Jesus Christ. They were really getting out the Word. But look at those churches today, most of them. Seldom you'll see one that's really Bible-centered anymore. They got lesbians as pastors or gay men. They don't believe in the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Folks, it's sad. The world we're in today, listen, because of the spiritual state of the churches in our country and the world today, I'm looking for Jesus at any minute. I'm telling you the truth. Today, we're preaching and teaching, and even in most Bible churches, nobody wants Jesus. I hate to say it. Over the years, I've seen people come in here, I know they needed Jesus. They ain't interested in Jesus, and they're not interested in Him now. Breaks my heart, troubles me. I can't make people get saved. Preachers can't make people get saved. Only Jesus can get people saved. But people don't want to hear about being saved. I've got too much to do with my life. He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I believe, was it Wednesday night at Bible study, a prayer meeting? We were studying. Didn't we look up a scripture where Jesus, where the Lord says, one day is coming, I'm going to laugh at them. He said, Psalms number 2. I believe that's where it said, the Lord says, and just talk about the end of the age, I'm going to laugh at them. I'd hate to have the Lord have to laugh at me. But that's what's going to happen to a lot of people. I'll spew out of my mouth. Does that sound like, do you like the church which he's going to rapture? I don't believe that church is going to get raptured. That church is going to get left behind, I'm afraid. Jesus is saying, you say you're Christians, you say you love me, you say it, but you don't mean it. What are you doing for me? What are you doing for the Lord? Not only to that church, but to any church. What is a member doing for the Lord? Are you loving Him? You know what? That's the thing He wants more than anything. If you love the Lord, if I love the Lord, you'll be doing something for the Lord. First of all, you'll be living right. Amen? Our Claire's weak. That sounds like what Donald Trump said to one of them politicians during the debate. You ain't got no energy. I love it, Geraldine. Keep it. And don't break that chewing gum. Oh, listen, because thou sayest that thou art rich. I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, Jesus said to that church. Y'all don't even know your spiritual condition. You think you're all this. You got plenty of money. You got plenty of position. Everything's going your way, and you think you got it made. But you're wretched. And you're spiritually naked. Unacceptable. This indicates self-sufficiency. And it's the danger of the lukewarm state. They saw themselves as people of wealth and prosperity. Jesus sees them as wretchable, pitiful people who seem to be saying, we have need of nothing. I got it made. And this is what's being created in our own country. When Johnson, back in 64, implemented that law. To help the people that was seemingly down and out. Now, when I came along in my generation, people didn't have a law like that. I didn't hear of nobody starving. You know why? People worked. People worked. People got off of their sit down and got up and done something. If you didn't, you wouldn't have made it. Amen? But Johnson implemented this social program that we got today, this drowning this nation, and it's making a nation full of sorry, no good people, if I can say it that way. And people have got the idea, you ought to support me because I don't have a job. Well, you could get a job. Jesus said, you're wretched. Laodicea boasted of a deeper than common insight into divine things, but they were spiritually blind. There's a lot of folks think they're very spiritual, but they're as blind as a bat. Deceived. Going to church don't make you spiritual. You can go every Sunday. Prayer meeting night too. That don't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is what's going on the inside. Is it transformation taking place with the Word of God? Are you being changed from the inside out? Are you learning how to control your own nature that's rebelling? And it's continually rebelling. It'll rebel till you die. That's the reason you got to get a new body. Because this body here is going to rebel till it dies. And you got to learn on the inside, the spiritual man, how to be the boss. The Laodicea was known for its great wealth, but Christ told the Laodiceans to buy their gold from him. The true gold. Then they would have real spiritual treasures. They had fool's gold. The people used to go out west, and sometimes they'd find gold. Boy, they'd just go berserk. They got this gold. Come to find out, have it analyzed, it was fool's gold. It was no good. It was no good. That being like finding a $100 bill, and you go running to the bank to cash it because you had and they say that's not a real one. Counterfeit. No good. Spirituality has got to be of the Lord. You got to be born again and begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. The Laodicean church made its boast of material possessions. And while the church in Smyrna was poor in material things, it was rich in the Lord and was commended by the Lord. It was the church of slaves and poor folks that Jesus endorsed at Smyrna. Slaves and those that were poor didn't have much of the world. These are the people that were pleasing the Lord. And we got this idea today, unless I have a lot of material things, a lot of wealth and prosperity and a big job with a lot of money or a big position, then the Lord's not blessed. Hogwash! Amen. Amen. Who was any more blessed than the disciples of the Lord who had nothing? They depended on somebody setting them up at night when they went to a town. Because they didn't even have a salary. I read somewhere the other day where the ruination of the church was when the churches started paying preachers. That's what ruined the churches. Because the preachers then went to preaching to please the people. To keep a salary. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I throw that in for extra. Amen. Worldly wealth is the measuring rod for the modern church. Spiritual values have been lost sight of and are extremely ignored, or entirely ignored. The church as a whole is not only rich in earthly good, but also it actually is the business of accumulating wealth. And a lot of churches are like that today. The Mormon church, you would be staggered at the amount of money that church has. Even Catholicism. Some of our Baptist church, they got so much money it would choke you. Just laying up. Laying up. Spiritual values have been lost sight of or are entirely ignored. The church as a whole is not only rich in earthly good, but also is in the business of accumulating wealth. And it would shock some to know of the ministers today who are actually millionaires. And I spent time yesterday, I believe it was, or day before, looking up a lot of your well-known ministers. They got millions of dollars. These on TV, they got millions of dollars. Some of them got their own jets. And they're on the air begging for money. And stupid, gullible people is sending it in. But if they were to have a problem, that preacher won't come see them. People are urged to make their wills in favor of so-called Christian organizations. Make your will out of our organization. Well, you know, it's all right if it's a real Bible. Now, I'll tell you something myself. I would will something to J. Vern McGee's ministry. I believe in that ministry. But I'd have to be very choosy. I'll just use that one. There's some more, but I'd be very choosy. But you know, even an organization like that, if they took him off and put somebody else in, I'd be ready to quit then. Because I wouldn't trust the next guy. I don't know him. The Laodicean church is a wretched one, Jesus says. It's worse off than any of the seven churches he sent a message to. And yet it was the most prosperous. It had the most people. He had the most influence. He was the kind that, I want to be a member of that church. You know, I want to be a part of that church that's got so much influence. You know, somebody there might help me. Faye knew somebody one time that said that. They wanted to be a member of the First Baptist Church. You know what I'm saying? The church uptown. The church uptown. You know what I'm saying? If I'm in the church uptown, you know, I might be better off, you know. It might help me. Folks. We need to be where you're going to get God's Word. We need to be at where we can, the Lord wants us. We don't need to go where I want to go. Let's go where God wants me to go. Where God can use me. Where I can be blessed. Where I can be told how to love the Lord and serve the Lord and be used of the Lord and please the Lord. That's where I need to be at. That church was to be pitied because it was a spiritually poverty-stricken church. The Lord had not one single word to commend that church for. And that won't be the only church like that. Thank God God's got some Bible churches around. And he does. God has some Bible churches where ministers are trying to get out the Word of God. I saw a little preacher on TV yesterday. I never seen him, never heard of him. He was like myself. He was not fluent at all. But you know, he was telling the truth. Now, he won't be popular. Everybody won't be sitting there dial every week to catch him. But he was telling the truth. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Thank God there are some Bible churches standing for the Word of God. But there are far, far too many that are religious centers or places where ministers are ripping off the gullible people with false teaching. Folks, it's disturbing me, all these people that are preaching. And I looked at some of them yesterday when I was looking at these ministers. They got all these millions of dollars in the banks. They got jet planes they fly around in. And they're telling people about prosperity. And the people are sitting there, And the preacher says, hey, you know, you need to plant a seed. And they're just digging it out to the Benny Hens, the Joel Osteens. And many, many more of them. They just can't get it to them fast enough. Here was this guy, Tilton, I believe it was his name. They caught him a few years back. He getting these hundreds and maybe even thousands of letters, and what was he doing? Ripping them open, getting the money out, and throwing it in the trash can. some $80 million. He had to get off the air a while. I think he's back, though, again now. Same message, prosperity. He's getting the prosperity, brother. It's working for him. Gullible people are just feeding it to him. Oh, we got all these operators here calling. We need to get the Word of God out. Yeah, they're getting it out. They tell the part about giving, but they're the one getting. Amen. And you know what? Nobody don't ever send me no money, hardly ever. We've been on the radio 45 years. Hardly ever anybody sends any money. I'm not complaining. I didn't get on anyway to get money. God opened that door 45 years ago. I didn't have no sense. I just went in anyway. And, you know, it just kept working. The Lord just kept making a way. So we just kept doing it. I'm just going to keep on doing as long as he keeps the door open. He said over in the church of Philadelphia, he's the ones that opened the door. Well, he's got it open. I'm going in till he says it's enough. It's not been easy. A lot of struggles with it to keep it going with the problems, electronic problems, equipment problems. But the Lord kept the door open. I'm serving a living God. Because I know when the disciples were sent out, they had problems. They had a lot of problems. In fact, some of them were skinned alive. Some of them was crucified. Some of them was hung. Others burned at the stake. Some of them pulled apart. My problems have been easy, hadn't they? According to theirs. I'm telling you about a church that thought they were pleasing God and serving God, and God said, "You're making me sick." Folks, let's make our church a church that's serving the Lord. And we can't do that unless we individually are in step with the Lord, loving the Lord, and being the people God wants each and every one of us to be. Showing love. Praying for others to be saved. Oh, I wish I had some more time. That was my introduction. Listen, folks. Let me say this in closing. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus said in Revelation 3:21. The believers that overcome will get to sit down with Jesus one day. Who are the overcomers? Those that live by faith. Those that live by faith. Live by faith is living but a book. You can live but a book. You have to determine that. You have to determine how spiritual you're going to be. I can't determine it for you. I challenge you. Check on your spiritual temperature. Are you lukewarm? Are you really in love with Jesus? Are you really in love with Jesus? Are you really trying to serve Jesus? I challenge you. Our church don't have to be like everybody else's church. Our church can be spiritual. Our church can be different. Our church can be a church where Jesus feels comfortable to come and be with. Amen? Are y'all listening to me today? going to be a Laodicean church. We can be a Philadelphia church. Faithful. A Bible-loving, teaching church. But it depends on you. And you. And you. And you. What this church is. And what Jesus has to say about it. And you got an imperfect pastor trying to teach you. And he sure needs somebody to pray for. Loving God, thank you for letting me try. I just give myself to you, Lord, for you to accomplish your will. Bless our people here, Lord. They're your people, Lord. Challenge, Lord. Lord, don't let them forget this message, Lord, that you don't want nobody to be lukewarm. You want us to be spiritual, serving the Lord, loving the Lord, growing in the Lord, sharing the Lord. And show us how we can better get out your word. Open doors for us for your glory and pleasure in Jesus' name. Not for the name of the church, but for the name of our Savior. I ask, amen. Amen. May the Lord speak to hearts this morning. I invite you to the Lord if you know not the Lord.